إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah, this is going to be a continuation of the explanation of the book Al-Muntaqa by Sheikh Majduddin Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah. Bab an-nahyi anil intifa'i bi jildi ma la ya'kulu lahmu. This chapter has to do with the forbiddance of benefiting from the skin of animals that are not eatable. We know that the animals are divided into eatable ones and the non-eatable ones. Examples of the non-eatable animals كُلُّ ذِنَابِ مِنَ السِّبَعَ animals with fang وَكُلُّ ذِي مِخْلَابِ مِنَ الطَّيْرِ likewise birds with claws so they are not eatables. There are some animals are specifically mentioned as not eatable, despite the fact that they do not fall under the animals with fangs or animals with claws. For instance, pig, we cannot eat it. However, the Sheikh says, "Annahyu an al-intifa'i bi jildi ma la yukalu lahmuhu." The forbiddance of benefiting from the skin of animals that are not eating. Human beings, we are considered as hayawanun natik, intelligent animal. So you can eat human being. So likewise, we cannot eat pig as I've said. So the Sheikh brought a hadith to support this position of his. An Abi al-Malih bin Usama an Abi anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an julud al-siba' rawahu Ahmad wa Abu Dawud wa Nasai wa Tirmidhi wa Zada an tuftarash. It was reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade chulud al-siba'. Chulud is a plural of the word jild. Jild means what? Skin. Al-siba' is a plural of al-sabru. Al-sabru means wild animals that depend on other animals, that hunt other animals, and they have what? They have fangs. So these are what? As-siba. So yeah, we have said that the siba, the wild animals with fangs, they are not eatable. This is established. Can we benefit from the skin of the wild animal with fangs? Or can we benefit from the skin of animals that are not eatable? Take for instance, we see a dead lion or a dead leopard, a dead cheetah. So we see a dead elephant. Can we remove the skin of these animals and tan the skin? You know what is called tanning? Tanning is to remove the blood and the watery aspect of the skin so that it becomes dry the way we treat the skin of these sacrificial animals. During Ilaya time, Eid al-Adha, when you slaughter the animals, you remove the skin, you put maybe ashes and things like that to remove the water. Then maybe it is prepared, it becomes dry. With that, you can use it for salah, for sitting and things like that. So what you have done is called what? Adabhu. What you have done is called what? Adabhu. In the Arabic language. So the English people will call it tan, to tan something, to tan the skin of an animal. So somebody who sees a dead lion, or a dead tiger, or a dead leopard, and tries to remove the skin of that dead animal, then tan the skin. Is this permissible? According to what the Sheikh has said, this is not permissible. It is not permissible. Why? Because they are animals that are not eatable. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam naha an julud as-siba. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade the skins of as-siba, of the wild animals with fang. I hope this is clear. Is it clear? So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade what? The skin of as-siba. So if you want to go by this, now you can make use of what? The leather of a leopard or a cheetah for the making of shoes, belt, a coat, bag, and things like that. Because when you make the leather of these animals, the tanned leather, the tanned skin of that animal that has become what? A leather. When you make use of it for the shoes or for bags, belt, coat, and the likes, you have done what? You have done interfere with it. You have benefited with it or from it. So on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, naha juludi as-siba. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade the julud of as-siba. This position is a position of the Hanabila, generally speaking. In fact, the position of the Hanabila is almost stricter than this. They go to the extent that you cannot tan the skin of any animal, whether eatable or not eatable, unless if you are the one that slaughtered that animal, then since you can eat the skin, since you slaughter, you can eat the skin, then you can make use of the skin for other things. But let's say the animal dies of itself. The animal dies of itself. Can you benefit anything from it? So what is preponderant or common with the mazhab of the Hanabila is that no, you cannot benefit anything from it. So this position goes against the hadith of Maimuna, A mola of Maimuna, a free slave of Maimuna, was given a sheep, and that sheep died, and they threw it away. And Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that. He said, "Allah tafa'atun biha, can't you benefit from it? Allah akhastun ihabaha, can't you take the ihab?" Ihab is what? Is jilt. It means what? The skin. Can't you take the skin, wa tafa'atun bi, and benefit from the skin? And it was said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Inna amayita." The sheep is dead. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna ma haruma akluha." It is the consumption that is haram. Meaning you can still benefit from the what? From the meita, from the dead animal, but you can't eat it. "Inna ma haruma akluha." Inshallah, we are still going to talk more on this. What I'm trying to say is that the position of the Hanabila goes against this. Because if you look at the position of, if you look at this hadith, it shows that you can benefit from the dead animal that is what? That is from it, that is what? Eatable. That is a dead animal. You can benefit from an animal that has died. A eatable animal that has died. You get it? Huh? That dies of itself. Not the one that is slaughtered. If it is slaughtered, there is ishma on that. Because you can eat the skin. But now the animal dies of itself. So can you still benefit anything from it? The Hanabila said no. What do they rely upon? They rely on the hadith of Abdullah ibn Ukaim, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said 2 months or so before his death, "La tantafiru min al-maytati bi-ihabin wala nasab." Do not benefit anything from dead animal, not the skin nor the nerve. Don't benefit anything from it. So scholars, they differ the authenticity of this hadith. Some said if the hadith is authentic, we have to reconcile it with many other hadith permitting what? Benefiting from the skin of eatable animals that have died of themselves. Is that clear? So Latin tefiu min al maytati bi ihabin. يعني قبل دبغيها أو قبل دبغيه before the ihab is what is been turned. That will be the meaning of hadith. لا تنتفعوا من الميتة بإهاب قبل دبغيه. How this is clear? You see, that will be the meaning. We have to reconcile that hadith with the other hadith. But for us to say this hadith has abrogated many a hadith, this will not be okay. Al-Imam Ahmad alayhi rahmatullah, in some of his statements, later recanted the position. And that was why I said what was common with the Hanabila. Because at times, the preponderant view in the madhab may not be the madhab or the position of the imam himself. And at times, in the madhab, maybe what the earlier scholars, what they were upon, is not what the later scholars are upon. But what the later scholars are upon is what is common now. Things like this happens in madhab. That's why it is somehow difficult at times to say this is the madhab of so and so, this is the position of so and so madhab, this is the position of so and so madhab. Because there may be difference of opinion even within the madhab itself. How this is clear? What I'm trying to say is the reason why the sheikh said the animals that are not eatable, the animals that are not eatable, that we cannot benefit anything from it. We cannot benefit anything from it that is from the skin. We can benefit. So, and that's why you see some people will tell you that you cannot wear shoes that are made of what? Maybe lion skin or leopard skin or tiger skin, like that. Why? Because of what? Naha al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an julud al-siba'a. Are you with me? That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade the julud of al-siba'a. We said the common madhab in of the Hanabila, or the common position in the madhab of the Hanabila, is that even eatable animals, you cannot make use of their julud if they die of themselves. The next hadith, Wazada, he said, رواه أحمد وابو داود والنسائي والترمذي وزاد أن تفترش. الترمذي had this addition أن تفترش, that is that it should not be spread as what? As a mat. It shouldn't be spread as a mat. You know, you can sit on the skin of sheep, cow and the likes when it is tanned, but the skin of the siba, the wild animals with fangs, they said you shouldn't sit on them. They said what? You should not sit on them, based on this hadith. Why? Some scholars said because they display something of pride, and there will be something of pomposity. So when you are sitting on, what's it called? On a mat, so to say, that is made of the lion skin or the tiger skin, you feel somehow important. And people try to watch, to dread you. They are afraid of you. That this person is sitting on what? On the skin of a tiger or a lion. So they say this is the reason. They say this is the reason. However, the Shafi'iyya, they try to limit it to animals mentioned specifically by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like the an-namru. An-namru is like a leopard. So they said it is limited to that. But other siba, other animals, one can wear the shoes and things like that. So they try to what, to restrict it to what is mentioned in the hadith. But some scholars, which is the favored opinion of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, Sheikh Ibn Baz, Al-Albani alayhim rahmatullahi jami'an, they generalize it. They generalize it. Now let's take another hadith. The matter will be clearer. وعن معاوية بن أبي سفيان أنه قال لنفر من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أتعلمون أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن جلود النمور Muawiyah, the son of Abu Sufyan, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a companion. The father was also a companion, radiallahu anhuma. Said to a group of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, أَتَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَهَى عَنْ جُلُودِ النُّمُورِ. Do you know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade the skins of an-numur? What is an-numur? The plural of an-namr. What is namr? Leopard. And yurkaba alayha, that one should ride on them. Qalu alahumma na'am. They said, yes, we know. Rawahu Ahmad wa Abu Dawood wa li Ahmad. In the report of Al-Imam Ahmad, it was said that Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan said, Anshudukum Allah, that is, I beg you with Allah. Annaha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an rukubi dufaf al-numur, qalu naam, qala wa ana ashhad. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade riding on the backs of that is the skins of an-numur, the leopards. Qalu naam, they said yes. Qala wa ana ashhad. Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan said, I also testify. So here, numur is mentioned. In the first hadith, what was mentioned? As-siba generally. Here, an-numur was mentioned. And turkaba. And that of siba, the addition of at-Tirmidhi as what? And tuftarash. That it that they are spread like mat. So yeah, and turkaba. What does this mean? You know, when people are riding on camels or donkeys, they put something that is called what, the saddle cloth. The saddle cloth. When you look at the picture of, let's say, a camel or a horse or a donkey, you see them putting a cloth that maybe the person will sit upon. So it may be maybe something of cloth, maybe something of what? Leather. So if it is made of the skin of leopard, this falls under what? The hadith directly. If it is made of the skin of tiger, lion and the likes, it also falls on it. It falls under this. Why? Because Naha and Juludi at Siba. I hope this is clear. But as I've said, the Shafi'a, they try to limit it to watch to a numur and to watch maybe something like tiger. They try to limit it to that. So why others, they generalize it? That is not okay for you to sit on such things, whether as mat or whether on your camels. Then they extended it towards to that of the shoes, the clothes, the bag, because they appear to be the same. The reason why you are asked not to sit on a mat of made from the leather of a lion or tiger, the same thing goes for when you are putting on shoes that is made of what? Lion leather or tiger leather. So that's why they said you can do that. Now there is this question. Can we conclude from this? Now we have, let's say we have admitted that we cannot put on we cannot sit on those things. Then let's extend it the way a lot of scholars have also said, that we cannot put on shoes, coats, bags made of these animals. Are you with me? Now, if we say for the reason of what? Of this pomposity, haughtiness, and the likes, that's our one angle. And we say those animals, if their skin is tanned, that is not pure. I don't know if I'm communicating. If you tan eatable animals, the skin of eatable animals, if you tan it, does it become pure or not? Eh? It becomes pure. If you tan the skin of the non-eatable animals, does that skin become pure or not? According to the Hanabila, is not pure. Even the Hanabila, the eatable ones, they believe is not pure. They believe the eatable ones tanning their skin. That is when they die of their of themselves. Now the non-eatable animals, let's assume somebody slaughters them now. Somebody slaughters a lion, or somebody guns down a lion, and the lion dies, and the person removes the skin of the lion. Is it pure or not? It's not pure. But the animal is shot down. It's not pure. You are not with me. If somebody shoots an antelope, for instance, shoots with a bullet, and that bullet penetrates, and the person says Bismillah when releasing it, and the antelope is gone down, can we eat it? Somebody guns down a leopard or a lion, and the person says Bismillah, can we eat it? Because why can't we eat it? Because Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade eating wild animals with fangs. It's clear. Now, that animal, I mean the lion now, the lion, is it filthy or not? Is lion filthy or not? Is lion filthy or not? No, we believe eating it is what is haram. But is it filthy? Eating poison, is it permissible? Haram. But is poison filthy? Eating dead lion, we know it's haram based on that hadith. أَكُلُّ ذِنَابِ مِنَ السِّبَاءَ فَأَكُلُّ haram. That we have to accept. But is lion filthy? You said it's not filthy. Eh? Now, are there scholars who say lion is filthy? How do we know that an animal is filthy or not filthy? With an evidence. Yes, I'm asking you. We have taken some of these things. How do we know that an animal is filthy or not filthy? No, we have had that. We need general evidence. General evidence. Now, animals that you are allowed to eat, they are not filthy, definitely. So those ones that you are not allowed to eat, are they filthy? Not all of them. Okay. Now, you've forgotten. When we are discussing the sur or asar of what of animals, the leftover water of an animal, the leftover water of an animal, let us know whether the animal is what, filthy or not. Can you still remember? For instance, now if dog drinks from what, the bowl, the water is filthy. That shows what? The saliva of dog is what? It's filthy. Exactly. A pig, if you drink from a bowl, the bowl becomes what? Filthy. Because its saliva is what? Filthy. Can we extend the same thing to lion, tiger, leopard or not? We can't. There is difference of opinion. If you say we can't, that's a position. If you say we can, that's a position. And those who say we can't, they let us know that the basis is that we don't declare an animal to be filthy except what we see and evidence. Those who say we can, their basis is what? The hadith that you all know, that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked concerning a water that the animals would go to drink from, and the siba, the wild animals, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا كَانَ الْمَاءُ كُلَّتَيْنِ لَمْ يَحْمِلِ الْخَبَسِ. If the water is up to two kulla, it means it does not bear filth. The opposite understanding is that what? إِذَا كَانَ الْمَاءُ أَقَلَّ مِنْ كُلَّتَيْنِ حَمَلَ الْخَبَسِ. If the water is less than two kulla, it shows that what? It carries filth. Which means the wild animals will be what? They will be what? They will be filthy. Their saliva is what? Their saliva is filthy. How this is clear? So, if we say the saliva of these wild animals with fangs is filthy, it means they are what? They are filthy. So, you can't eat them. You cannot eat them because they have what? Nab. And they are, at the same time, they are also what? Filthy. You get it now? So, if you kill them, or they die of themselves, and you remove the skin, will the skin be pure if the animal that has the skin is what? Is filthy. Will the skin be pure? It's not clear. Those who believe that the animal is what is filthy through the issue of what saliva that you have talked about. So, if the animal itself, alive, is filthy, then is what? His death makes it what? More filthy. So, removing the skin, will it be purified or can it be purified by tanning? No. Now, can the skin of a sheep that dies of itself be purified by tanning? Yes. You know, the sheep is dead already. It has become filth. Correct. And you want to purify the skin by tanning. Can you also purify the skin of a lion that dies of itself by tanning it? So scholars, they have what? Two opinions on that. Some of the opinion that you can purify it. Why? They said, Messenger of Allah said, Ayyuma ihabin dubiha faqad tahura. Ayyuma ihabin, ihab is what? Jilj. Ayyuma ihabin dubiha. Any skin that has been tanned faqad tahura has become what? Clean. Pure. So some scholars are of the opinion that any animal, some said except dog and pig, any other animal that dies of itself and watch, you tan the skin, then it has become pure. Some said even including the pig and the dog. Now, Sheikh Al-Albani Ali Rahmatullah has this view that if you tan the skin, it's pure. But there is a difference between the skin being pure and you now sitting on the skin. If the skin is what belongs to the Sita and the Numur, you can't sit on it. Why? Because Na'an Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Juludi Sita. Na and Juludi Numur and Turkaba. I don't know if I'm communicating. Is it clear? So there is a view that watch the skin. Any skin that is tanned, except that of what dog and pig, is what is pure. What can I use it? If it is Siba, they said no, you can't use it. Why can't I use it? Because you already have Adif Ma'a what Juludi at Siba, but not because it's not pure. But because of something of what pride, that's why you can use it. But it's pure. But the Hanabila will tell you is not pure. Even that of the eatable animals that die of themselves is not what? Is not pure. Contrary to what the Jumhur are upon, that of the eatable animals that is tanned is what? Is pure. So you may see how scholars they take matter. You may ask, for instance, can I put on shoes with lion skin or tiger skin? Somebody will tell you no. Can I make it of felt that is made of tiger skin? Somebody may say what? No. Why? Somebody may say what? Yes. As I said, that the Shafi'iyya, we try to limited to what? Some animals. But Wallahu A'lam, to be on the safe side, one should avoid the the shoes, the belt, the bags, the coach made of these wild animals with fang. One should avoid it. But does that mean that they are not pure? So to some scholars, yes, they are not pure because the animals themselves are not pure. Some said what? They are pure. But to be on the safe side, let us avoid it. Now, the Sheikh continues. He said, وعن المقدام من معد كرب أنه قال لمعاوية Miqdam, the son of Mahdi Karb, said to Muawiyah, أشهدك الله I beg you with Allah هل تعلم أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نأى أن لفسي جلود السباء والركوب عليها Do you know that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade wearing the skin of wild animals with fang والركوب عليها and also riding on them قال نعم he said yes رواه أبو داود والنسائي وعن مكدام بن مهد كرب قال نعى الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الحرير والذهب ومياثير النمور المكدام بن مهد كرب said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade الحرير silk which is the not the synthetic silk the real silk produced by the silk worm wadhab and gold wa mayathir an-numur and mayathir of an-numur mayathir that's the plural of misara misara is that cloth that you are talking about spread maybe on the back of the horse or the So it may be made of silk at times, and it may be made of the leather of animals. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade that. We said a lot of scholars said this is because of what? Because of the pride and the haughtiness that may come from that. Nam. Are they filthy or not? That is, since they have been turned, are we going to say they are filthy? Or they are not filthy? But it's not permissible to make use of them. Now, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تصحب الملائكة رفقة في أشلد نمر رواه أبو داود أبو رضي الله عنه said the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said the angels do not accompany a company that adult that has a jild namrin that is the skin of leopard with them أبو داود reported it وهذه نصوص Ibn Taymiyyah al-Jadd, that is the grandfather, Majduddin Abdul Salam, said, وَآذِهِ النُّسُوسُ تَمْنَعُ إِسْتُعِمَالَ جِلْدِ مَا لَا يُكَلُ لَحْمُهُ فِي الْيَابِسَاتِ All these texts forbid the use of animals that are not eatable. فِي الْيَابِسَاتِ in dry things وَتَمْنَعُ بِعُمُومِ أَطَعَرَتَهُ بِذَكَاتٍ أَوْ دِبَاغٍ and generally speaking it also prevent or forbid the watch or disapprove the purity of those kings whether the animals are slaughtered or they are turned do you get what you're saying? The fact that you slaughter a lion does not mean what? It has become eatable. And the fact that you turn the skin of a dead lion does not mean what? It has become pure. That is for those who believe that those animals are what? They are filthy. You get it now? So you turning their skin does not make them what? Pure. Because the animal itself is what? Is filthy. Why alive? It is not the death that makes it filthy. Unlike the sheep, unlike the cow, the goat, they are what? They are pure while alive. It is the death that makes them what? Filthy. That is the natural death, so to say, or the the non-Sharia debt that makes them what? Filthy. You get it now? So, but the Sharia says that if you turn the skin, they become what? Pure. The skin becomes what? Pure. But you cannot extend the same thing to the wild animals with fangs. Why? Because to some of the scholars, they believe they are filthy while alive. So their death is more filth upon what? Filth. Then try to apply the hadith, Ayyuma ihabin dubiqa faqad tawr. He said that hadith is not applicable to those animals. It is only applicable to animals with what? Animals that are eatable. You get it? But the other scholars said it is applicable to all animals with the exception of dog and pig. Some said even pig and dog are inclusive. However, the skin, can you make use of their skin after you have tanned them? I mean the wild animals with what? With fangs. We said, some scholars said no, based on what? On this hadith. Because they are not pure after you have tanned them. They become pure. But what? But because they are things of pride and what? That can bring haughtiness and things like that. I don't know if the point is clear. Okay, let me ask. Why can't we wear or sit on the leather of non-eatable animals with fangs? Huh? Because of what? Because of the ahadith of the process. What are those ahadiths talking about? Is the only sitting that is mentioned in all the hadith? We have sitting, riding, we have what? Lobsu. We have spreading, we have lobsu. In all the ahadith. So one can say, okay, you cannot put on, you can wear the, what's it called? The skin of those animals that are what? That are not eatable, that are wild animals with fangs. But because of what? What's the reason? Why did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ask us not to wear them or sit on them? Why? Why? Huh? Pride. Is that mentioned in the hadith, in those hadith? Or it is what? A deduction. Huh? Deduction. Okay. Now, what other reason? What other reason? You have mentioned one reason. Is there any other reason that we cannot wear or sit on the leathers of those animals with fangs? Is there any other reason? Huh? Because they are filthy. Because they are filthy. Because they are filthy alive. And when they are dead, tanning cannot remove the filth. Tanning cannot remove the filth. Is this agreed upon by all the scholars? No. It's not agreed upon by all the scholars. Some scholars are of this opinion. Some are of the opinion that Ayyuma ihabin dubiqa faqad tahur. And this is the view of the Jumhur. This is the view of the Jumhur. Contrary to the Hanabil and some others. But the fact that they accept, they admit that those skins after being tanned are pure, does not necessarily mean what? You can wear them. Why can't you wear them? Because of those specific ahadith on what? On white animals with fang. Are you with me? Are you with me? So, yes, it may be somehow technical, but you just have to watch. You have to accept it like that. You have to accept it like that. That is knowledge. So inshallah we stop here. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Jazakumullah khairan. I just quickly want to mention that we see halqa ground is not different from madrasa. In fact, it is the actual madrasa known in the past. So it is later that madrasa was turned to a place where you learn and prepare for exams, and all of a sudden students start learning for exams, to pass exams. But halqa, the ground, is actually madrasa where we learn about the thing. The difference is just that we are not writing exam and we are not writing tests, and there's no certificates being issued. So, but sincerely speaking, where we actually get real knowledge of the deen is the halqa ground. For those of us who attend madrasa, who are still attending, and those of us who have madrasas, we can bear witness that details like this are not being given at madrasa. You have a book of fiqh that you use. The ustaz will explain what is in the book. There's no time. Another Arabia mudaris is waiting outside. You want to ask questions, you want to know. There's no time for detailed explanation. So that is why it's very important that we understand that halqa ground is actually madrasa, and we need to take it more serious. May Allah make it easy for us. That is why Al-Ustaz Hafizahullah, after this program now, he will upload this the halqa in the WhatsApp groups. Some brothers have to post it on. Do we receive it? We do receive it, right? So that's why we have it in those groups, so that we can go back to it again and listen to it. Maybe during the week you listen to it. The whole of this book now, for example, from the beginning to where we stop today, we'll have it on our WhatsApp group and we can access it and listen to it, so that we can follow up with subsequent discussions. May Allah make it easy for us. Jazakallah khairan. Now questions. Okay, somebody said that concerning the dog touching the body, if it is not the mouth that is that touch our body, maybe the dog like passing by, it touches our body. So can we go ahead to pray?
Naam, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala rasulullah. But I think this issue has been discussed before. So you say the dog is filth. The dog is filth. If the dog is wet and your body is not wet, so something wet has touched your body that is dry. So according to a lot of scholars, they will say what? They will say your clothes has become filthy as well. But Sheikh Zayed Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah said it is only when the dog touches you with the mouth, that is the saliva of the dog touches your body, that is when your clothes becomes what? Filthy. So, and this, wallahu alam, appears to be the stronger opinion. Wallahu alam.
Okay, so when do we say Ameen in Salat after the Imam?
Now we say Ameen together with the Imam. As the Imam is saying Ah, we are also saying Ah, so that we can all end with Meen. So this is the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ وَافَقَ تَأْمِينُهُ تَأْمِينَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. So whoever his own army agrees with the army of the Malaika, what has proceeded of his sins, that is minor sins, will be forgiven. Wallahu
a'lam. Okay, so perfume, the ruling of perfume that has alcohol and sanitizers.
Now this has also been discussed. So perfume that has alcohol, it depends on the type of alcohol that it has. If it is methanol that it has, so this is not what we are discussing, because methanol itself is poisonous. But if it is ethanol, ethanol, that one is intoxicant. So, and that is the real khamru that they are talking about. So, is khamru a filth or not? According to Jumhur of the scholars, khamru is filth. Khamru is filth. So if it touches your garment has become filthy. Yes, some scholars like Sheikh Al-Albani, Ibn Uthaymeen, and some others are of the opinion that it is not a filth. So to these people, if intoxicant touches your garment is not filthy. But it's not something that is okay for you, because when you are smelling intoxicant, people may feel you have taken it. You have actually consumed it. So it's not something that is good. But is your garment filthy? So they will say your garment is not filthy. So with this, they are of the opinion that, let's say a company produces a perfume that has alcohol in it, if it's something that does not make your garment smell intoxicant, that is the quantity added to it does not make your garment or your body smell intoxicant, so they believe what this is, what you can use it. However, you cannot process it, because if you want to process it, you are going to deal with what, with intoxicant, so which is what, which is wrong. But somebody has produced it, let's say kafir, so to them there is no harm in it. Now, to the majority of the scholars, if what is added to it is very little, to the extent that it has been consumed in the other substances added to it, then what they call istihala as what has taken place, then you can make use of such perfume. Let's say the content, the percentage of the alcohol here, let's say it's maybe 2%, 3%, so this one will be consumed by other substances. Well, let's say it's about 10% or 20%. Yes, your body may not be smelling intoxicant, but the majority of the scholars will say, for us to say sihala is taking place with this type of quantity, it will be difficult. So they may treat you as if what you are rubbing yourself with a filth. So, and that's why we say majority of the scholars see the sanitizers that we use, the hand sanitizers, as what? As filth. Because an hand sanitizers is about 60, 70, 80% intoxicant. So when you rub yourself, your hand with the hand sanitizer, you have rubbed your hand with what? With intoxicant. So you have to wash it as soon as what? Possible. If you go ahead to pray with it, it's like you are praying with urine. So, according to the majority of the scholars, Allahu
a'lam. If there is caught flowing out of the voice, for example, and while one is on salam, or blood coming out of the mouth, that one is on salam, will it affect salam?
Now, somebody that pus or blood is coming out of his body while in salah. According to most scholars, pus and blood, they are fish. But somebody that blood is coming out of his body, how is he going to do? He can't help it. So this, they will say what? Yashukku taharruzu anhu. So it is difficult to avoid. So in that case, la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa usai. Just like a woman that is suffering from incontinence of blood, discharge of blood from a vagina, which we call what? Istihada. Or a man that is suffering from incontinence of urine, which we call what? Salasul Bawl. So if he urinates now and he cleans himself up, in no time, in the next 1 minute, urine will come out again. So what's he going to do? La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. So the same thing can be said of the person that pus or blood is coming out of his body. So the jumhur of the scholars who say blood is what? The blood that comes out of the body, any part of the body, is filth. But if something that you cannot avoid, then you say what? La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. However, people like Sheikh Al-Albani, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, they say this is an evidence that blood, apart from the blood of Hajj, is not filth. So they will quote example of somebody who was stabbed during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he continued prayer. The Jumhur will say, no, that doesn't mean blood is not filthy. Blood is filthy, but yashukku taharruz anhu, the man can't help it. If he says what, he cleans the blood now. If he puts on another garment, the garment will be stained by blood. So this is just like the case of somebody who is suffering from incontinence of urine or feces and the likes. And this, wallahu alam, is a very strong opinion. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.